Greetings this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Appreciated the words of that song. We have one whose grace is sufficient, who's promised to be with us, and I trust that we can all find that refreshment and whatever we need from the Lord. It's there for us. As we were singing that song, I thought of the words of Jesus where he invites us to come. All those who labor and are heavy laden, he said, I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do we wonder sometimes, is that really true? His yoke is easy, his burden is light. There was a thought I read once that impressed me. In relation to that, the yoke becomes hard and or the burden is heavy. It's when we resist his will. And so as we come in submission to him, that he is there to help us, and we can cast our burdens on the Lord, as the songwriter put it. Thankful for what we heard already this morning, and especially in Brother Glenn's message, the positive note that came through in his message. And I know maybe we at times focus on the negatives and the responsibilities and the burden, but there is that. But let's not just focus on that. It's a privilege, it's a blessing to be involved in the work of the Lord. It's a great work, and to be laborers together with God, what a calling. And that's not just for preachers or deacons or in the ministry, but it's all of us here this morning. We can enter into that laboring with God. So this morning, the assignment is the heart of a shepherd. So when we think of a shepherd, we think of sheep, don't we? The flock that the shepherd leads. And there's something beautiful as we picture in our minds the scene of a shepherd walking along. We don't see that probably much in our day today, but I think we've seen the pictures. We can picture in our mind this shepherd walking along. And he's choosing a path for the sheep. He's avoiding the pitfalls, the dangers. And the sheep are contentedly following along behind him, trusting and contented. And the shepherd leads them to those green pastures. And beside the still waters. It's a beautiful picture. And we have in the scriptures the thought of leaders in the church being shepherds, under-shepherds of the great shepherd. And I trust this morning that we all are the sheep of the great shepherd. In Psalm 95, verse 7, the first part of the verse there, it says, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. What a privilege to follow the good shepherd. When I think of a message like this, sharing a message, it's convicting to me. seeing where we come short. So I'd like for you today to look beyond the man. I'd like to think of the heart of the Good Shepherd. He's the perfect example. And so we want to look at that this morning, the heart of the Good Shepherd, to help us understand as under-shepherds how, what kind of a heart we ought to have. And again, this isn't, I hope all of you here this morning can enter into this. We all have our responsibilities. We're all sheep, or maybe not all leaders in the church, but we want to follow the Good Shepherd. And I think as we go over some of the, as a glimpse into the heart of the Good Shepherd, that you will appreciate your relationship with him and the privilege to follow the Good Shepherd. And those of us as leaders this morning, again, I hope we can learn to emulate and to live our lives following the pattern of the Good Shepherd. Won't necessarily cover all the things we could say, I'm sure, but I'd like to just take you to the heart of the Good Shepherd. We'll look at some other examples, but to just look into his heart and see what is there. The first glimpse I would like for you to look as you look into his heart, and that is that it is a heart of love. I'm sure that's very obvious, maybe the first thing you would think of as you think of the heart of the Good Shepherd, and that is his love for you and me. John 15:9, Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And as he was here on earth, you remember that last night, the night he was betrayed, he sat down with the 12, and remember, one of these was about to betray him to his enemies. It says this at the beginning of John 13. He says, "Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." His love was constant. And I believe that he loved Judas. And I believe that he gave opportunity that night to Judas to change his way. But he loved them unto the end. In spite of their humanness, in spite of their bickering, in spite of their wondering who would be the greatest, in spite of the fact that one of them was going to deny him, it says that he loved them unto the end. And you know, it's easy, or it's easier to love someone who loves you, isn't it? But you know, sometimes I believe the love of God calls us to love those who are unlovely. As we look at the definition of agape love, it says it does not run with the natural inclinations. And I think it's a challenge for us, for all of us and for ministers, to have that commitment to love. To love the unlovely. those that maybe we would say causes problems. The one that we have to stress out about and cause problems. But just remember this, that Jesus loved his own that were in the world, and he loved them unto the end. The Apostle Paul experienced that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where as a faithful under-shepherd and following the pattern of the good shepherd, he told the Corinthians there that the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Can we keep on loving, making that choice to love? You know, our love motivates us to seek what is best for the sheep. And what is best for the sheep is maybe not always the most popular. It may not be what everybody wants to hear. But we need to love and continue to love. Because as we love, we will seek what is the best for the sheep. And again, as we think of the good shepherd, the words of the song came to my mind, "Oh, such wonderful love. Jesus, my Savior, left scepter and throne to rescue a sinner like me." A real challenge to, again, pattern our lives after the good shepherd. That takes me then to the second glimpse into the heart of the shepherd, and it's very closely connected with that of love, but it's a heart of sacrifice. And Jesus said in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." A heart of sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 8:9, where it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." A life of sacrifice. Jesus, my Savior, left scepter and throne to rescue a sinner like me. And Jesus would have told the inquiring man that wanted to follow him, he said, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." The Creator of the heavens and the earth, and he had no place to lay his head. Sacrifice. John 15:13, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And we know that Jesus laid down his life not only for his friends, but for you and me when we were enemies and far from God. Again, the example of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:15, that same verse there, he says, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." We as under-shepherds need to sacrifice. We need to lay down what I want to do. And I've thought already in my own life, you know what maybe makes the burden seem greater is when it gets in the way of what I would really enjoy doing or what I would like to do. And that's when I believe that the call, the responsibility becomes a burden, more of a burden, when we do not really give up our own will and make that self-sacrifice for what is the good of the sheep. It may involve time, sleep, and evening at home. And I've thought of this in the past, maybe especially, you know, Saturday was a time to think about the sermon for Sunday, or at least to be working on it. And beautiful spring day. And here I'm sitting in my study and look out the window. It'd be so nice to be outside doing something different. We should not dwell on that. That's really selfish in a way, is it not? We need to lay down our will. We need to have that heart of sacrifice for the good of the sheep. Remember what the good shepherd did for you and me. As we look into the heart of the good shepherd, we see an humble heart. You know, there was something about the life of Jesus that attracted people to him, the multitudes. And the scripture says that the common people heard him gladly. And I think they seen this man who loved them, who understood them, and was humble enough to identify with them. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, encourages us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross," the most, humiliating way to die, "where he was put to an open shame." Humility. Paul's testimony of himself, and I don't believe he was boasting in any way. In Acts 20, there, as he was speaking to the Ephesian elders, he talked about serving the Lord with all humility. And I think we have, as under-shepherds, all of us here, if we're going to help people, if we're going to truly be faithful under-shepherds, we must be humble. I think this was mentioned earlier in these meetings where the shepherd is not above his people, but he's on the same level with him. We're made of the same stuff. We have the same temptations, and we make mistakes, and we need to admit it. As we're humble, it will help us to accept criticism, to accept maybe unfair criticism, correction. If we don't have anything to protect personally, that takes humility. And we may just have to, at times, take the example of Jesus. I've gone to that already there in Peter, where Peter writes about how Jesus was reviled, but he didn't revile again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. And that's such a blessing, because we know there's a God who understands perfectly. And he can, if we have been faithful, it really doesn't matter too much what other people say. But an humble heart, I think I referred to the centurion that came to Jesus about the sick, his sick servant. I mentioned that the other night as we talked of humility. And he recognized that he also was a man under authority. And I believe he was a good man. He was a good leader of his soldiers because he didn't have the big head. Peter admonishes us as shepherds, under shepherds, to humility in 1 Peter 5. He speaks about this. He's exhorting the elders. Let me see here. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time. Humility. Such a precious and important jewel in the life of the under-shepherd, and especially as we think of working together in the ministerial team, humility is so important. We could look at the example of Diotrephes. We won't take time to turn to that. You remember the havoc that raised when he loved to have the preeminence. Number four, as we think of the heart of the shepherd, I see a heart of compassion. Do we have a compassion for the souls of men? While Jesus was here on this earth, he had, the scriptures speak of this, that he saw the multitudes and he had compassion. Because they were as sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion upon the two blind men who cried for mercy, and he healed them. The bereaved, the sisters of Lazarus, the widow of Nain, the compassion in the heart of Christ for that, and the desire to alleviate that. And he wept over Jerusalem because they had spurned their opportunities. But a heart of compassion. And as I thought of that, you know, compassion is costly, isn't it? Because we enter into the sufferings, the difficulties of others. And it's costly. Life would be a lot simpler without entering into that. Life would be more comfortable, wouldn't it? But again, looking to the Good Shepherd, he is one that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In fact, it behooved him to be made like unto you and me so that he could be a merciful and a faithful high priest. And again, he gave up so much to do that. And along with that compassion, there's a care for the sheep. He's available for them. And as already mentioned, he enters into the experiences of the sheep and the needs, their needs. And we need to remember that in these problems, that again, we're made of the same stuff. And where one has fallen, we may have stumbled. And we have a care for that individual. And connected to that also, as we look into the heart of the shepherd, is a desire to know the sheep. And Jesus said that in John chapter 10, verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Hasn't that been a blessing to you to think about it, that the shepherd really, he knows all about you? He understands you. He was tempted in all points like as you are. But he knows his sheep. And I think that's a challenge for us as under-shepherds, to enter into the life of the sheep, to know them, to know their struggles, to know their discouragements, to know the difficult things that God has asked them to go through that maybe we don't even understand totally. So in our compassion, let's care for the sheep, let's know them, and seek to help them. As we look into the heart of the Good Shepherd, I see a desire there to protect the sheep. If you go to the Good Shepherd chapter, John chapter 10, he talks about the Good Shepherd, and he talks about the hireling. Those who are not true shepherds, those who do not really have the good of the sheep in mind. In verse 9, he says, I am the door. And I can't really verify this today here, but I believe I've read already that in the sheepfolds of those times that the shepherd at night would lay across, he would sleep in the door of the sheep. The sheep were safely in the fold, and the shepherd laid across, slept in the entryway. Anything that would want to come in and harm the sheep, anyone, any wolves, would have to cross over him. And he said, I am the door. He talks about the thief that comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm reading in verses 9 and 10 here and following. And he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he talks about the hireling who sees the wolf coming and flees, and the sheep are scattered. And the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and he doesn't really care for the sheep. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. We have an enemy who wants to destroy the flock, who wants to destroy the sheep. He wants to scatter the sheep. And we as under-shepherds should have a desire to protect the sheep. We should not be as the hireling who just simply wants to save his own hide and he flees when he sees the danger coming. And again, in a natural sense, I think of King David or the shepherd boy, how he said that when a lion and a bear came, he was there and he killed them. Put his own life in danger. There's so much at stake. There's eternal souls at stake as we think of the church and the sheep for which we are responsible. And Paul admonishes Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He talks about the time coming. People don't want to hear sound doctrine. They're going to want teachers that tickle the ears. It says they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. A concern for the protection of the flock. And it may not always be the most popular place to be. But we need to be willing to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I'm sure there could be more that could be expanded on there, but I'd like to move on. We have a responsibility to feed the sheep. And that should be our heart, that the sheep are fed. And I believe it was the heart of the Good Shepherd. And as you read in the Gospels there, Matthew 5, it says that he, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And we have that powerful sermon, that the greatest sermon that was ever preached. He wanted to feed the people, his disciples. He did a lot of teaching. We could say that he was instant, in season, out of season. He preached to the woman, or taught the woman at the well, and so on. His was a life of ministry to people to meet their spiritual needs. At the close of Jesus' ministry, as he was speaking to his disciples there, particularly Peter, John 21, I believe it is, where Jesus challenged Peter if he really loved him. And then Jesus said, feed my lambs, after Peter's affirmation of his love. But Jesus did it two more times, questioned him on his love. And then he, after Peter's response, he said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. It's our responsibility. And so Peter, in 1 Peter 5, again, as he talks to elders, he said, feed the church. How did he say that? It kind of slips my mind, but feed. We're to feed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. And the message is the word. And I realize people can be led away. They can become dissatisfied. I think it's a challenge to us as leaders. There's a verse in the Proverbs that says, the full soul, if I can get this right, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And I'm not putting the blame always on us as ministers, but I think it's something for us to think about. Are people being fed? Are they satisfied? Or is there a reason the sheep, because of the lack of the green pastures, are eating the briars and the brambles and the nettles that may make them sick or lead them away? We have a responsibility to feed. And it's not talking about, we don't feed them by preaching about current events as such, or politics, or we need to feed them the word. I have two more points here as we look into the heart of the shepherd. A heart that seeks the erring. I'd like to turn to Matthew 18, beautiful passage here about the Good Shepherd. Matthew 18. Verse 12. What think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99? And goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray. And if so be that he find it, Verily I say to you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Do we have the heart of the Good Shepherd? Do we have that burden, that concern that not one of these little ones perish? We must not have the attitude that this person has caused so much problems. I've sacrificed sleep and time, and we almost give a sigh of relief when they say they're leaving. I trust that's not the case. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's a touching verse, Ezekiel 34, verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Wished we'd have the song in our books here today of the 99. And how the songwriter depicts there how the Good Shepherd went out on the mountains, the effort he put forth to bring back that lost sheep. It's the heart of the shepherd. The heart of the shepherd. Well, I believe it should be the heart of, I should say it this way, the heart of the Good Shepherd is to see us through to a blessed end. John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in his beautiful prayer to his Father, he expressed that desire that his followers would be able to behold his glory. That's the goal of the Good Shepherd. That we might be with him throughout eternity. I believe it was Paul, that his desire was that he might present every man perfect in Christ. There's a few scriptures here in the book of 1 Thessalonians I'd like to refer to. I think it was very much the heart of the Apostle Paul to be able to present the believers that he was responsible for, to present them to God. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Chapter 3, verse 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And then in chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of the shepherd, he wants to see the sheep make it safely through. And it's going to take work. It's going to take, and it's not just human effort, don't get me wrong. But it's going to take love. It's going to take sacrifice. And these different things that I've mentioned that are in the heart of a shepherd, I believe there'll be a day when those things become more clear to us. Jeremiah chapter 13, I don't believe I'll turn to that. Just give you a brief picture, maybe taking it a bit out of the context, but talking about the king and the queen humbling themselves. And then it goes on to say, where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? We have been given a charge and responsibility. May we all be able to present a flock that is still beautiful, that is suitable for the great shepherd to receive. May the Lord bless.